My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us start this khutbah with a question. Why would Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula make us go through the pain of hunger and thirst? Understanding that this question usually is posed in the West. Dealing with it, understanding their language, and addressing them in the way they can relate to it. In order for us to understand this sunnah question in itself and give them the answer that it would make logic and sense to them, you have to take him through a quick journey. First, you ask him a rhetorical question. And say, how would you feel if I told you about a little girl that has no food and water? And then you ask him another question. Now that you cannot go to sleep at night for some reason or another, you go downstairs, turn on the TV, you actually see this young girl that has no food and water, no shelter. The hair is untidy and dusty. The flies on the eyes. She's got a belly that is full of gas. She bends over, grabs a morsel of food, dusts it off, doesn't know what it is, and eats it. How would you feel? See, the first time you only heard about it, so there's one mean of communication, one sense that was used in your body, a hearing sense. So you may be somewhat moved. But the second time we added a visual, you actually didn't just hear about it, you also saw it. So you are moved even more. Maybe a tear comes down the eye, a tremble in the cheek, movement of the lips. But if you don't eat and drink yourself, all your body senses are involved. And no one would ever be able to tell you what it feels like to be hungry and thirsty unless you go through it yourself. Now you know what it feels like to be hungry and thirsty, you don't take things for granted. You don't waste the food. You become grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. You share with the less fortunate than you. You recognize there's a wisdom behind everything. That Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula teaches us how to become the best of human beings through the acts of worship. Teaches us moral conduct through the acts of worship, the ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links the ibadah with the akhlaq in the Quran in so many places. In Ramadan specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us taqwa. The verse that everybody knows. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Oh, you believe, fasting was prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon nation before you, so you may learn taqwa. So the act of worship is that Ramadan, the fasting, and the akhlaq, the moral conduct, the fruit of that is taqwa. As you see in other acts of worship, as salah, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Indeed, salah wards off evil. So the act of worship is salah. The fruit of it is wards off evil and transgression act. Zakah, khudh min amwalihim sadaqah. Take from the wealth, charity, purify them. and multiplies it for them, purifies them from the illness of the heart, to teach us to be jawad, given, generous, not a miser, stingy. Same with Hajj. In this month, there is 2 million from inside and 2 million from outside. No quarrel, no fighting. La rafath, fusuq, jidal. Nothing. Not even beginning of intimate relations. So you'll see the connection between the acts of worship with the akhlaq, the ibadah. Acts of worship, the fruit of izzadah, moral conduct and the behavior. So you become the best human being that walks on the face of the earth. It's hands-on management. Islam is a practical religion. It teaches you how to be the best through the acts of worship, as you're not doing exercises. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about taqwa, piety. But this khutbah is not specifically about taqwa, it's about the month of Ramadan and the school of Ramadan. So how do you learn taqwa? From fasting. The scholars say, if you don't eat and drink in front of people, or not having any beginning of intimate relations between spouses, in front of people, and then you go home and close all the doors, and the only door you open is the door of the fridge, do you have taqwa, akhi and ukhti? La wallahi. So you learn to have taqwa. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula when you're all alone. And that's when the scholars say, that's the only time you will know whether you have taqwa or not. When you're all alone, when you close all the gates, nobody else sees you, nobody else hears you, except Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. And you say, inni akhafullah. When you're all alone, that's when you know whether you have taqwa or not. That's why the scholars will tell you, that's the reason, it's the secret between you and Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the divine tradition. That says that all the acts of the children of Adam and the deeds is for them. Except fasting is for I, it's for me. And I will reward him for it. Because it's a secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So since He closed all the gates, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open one gate for you. On Judgment Day, the gate of Rayyan. Nobody else will be able to go through this gate except those who fasted for the sake of Allah. So you left your food for the sake of Allah, Allah will feed you from the food of heaven inshaAllah. You left your drink for the sake of Allah, so Allah will quench your thirst from Hawd al-Kawthar inshaAllah. You left your whims and desires. You learn something about yourself. For the sake of Allah, Allah will reward you abundance of eternal life and bless. In Jannah. Ameen. Now, since you already know you're leaving things that are halal, food and water and intimate relations between spouses are halal. So the scholars will also tell you, how could you be leaving something that is halal and doing something that is haram? Subhanallah. Is it possible, akhi? Is it possible, ukhti, that you leave things that are actually halal, eating and drinking, halal food, and halal drinks and intimate relations between spouses are halal. So you're leaving that. And could you be doing something that's haram even though you're leaving something that's halal? La wallahi. So you learn something about yourself. You're made of body and soul. Some of the scholars say body, soul and mind, aql. So what you're made of body is a lower being. It's dust, clay. That's your whims and desires. Your spirit is a higher being. Your mind is what differentiates of the decisions you make, on the actions you take. So if your whims and desires control you, you're a lower being. You're a servant to your own whims and desires. You're imprisoned to your own whims and desires. Slave. Poor person can't control your own whims and desires. But if your spiritual side controls your whims and desires, you're on a higher link. Higher stature. Higher in the sight of Allah. So that's how Islam teaches you to be the best of the best. When you leave things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, Allah rewards you something better. So you learn. There are three aspects and benefits of Ramadan. Spiritual, physical, and social. The social aspect is when we invite one another. Come and eat with me, akhi. Come to my home. Let's get to know one another. As a community, we fast together. We break our fast together. There is a bond. You give sadaqah. You give the charity after. You help the poor. You know who's whom. Hug and embrace this beautiful bond between the Muslim brothers and sisters. This ummah is one. So you see the unity of the ummah at the time. At least in the community, that's a social bond. And there's a physical aspect to it and benefit to it. That small bag that you have inside of you. You have appetizers, salads, soups and salads, and hot and cold. Main course, desserts. Everything goes in a little bag. And it's a reflection. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبَصُرُونَ In themselves, have you not seen? Have you pondered to reflect about that small bag that it takes factories to isolate everything that goes into it and it gives you what's pure? Get rid of the impure, subhanallah. So you give that a break. And you're supposed to lose weight in Ramadan. I understand we're supposed to lose weight in Ramadan. But wallahi, I don't understand how we gain weight in Ramadan. Subhanallah. There is a German doctor that puts this hadith in the front door, even though he's not a Muslim yet. But he actually mentioned this hadith when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. It's bihasb ibn Adam luqimat yuqimna sulba. It is sufficient for the child of Adam morsels of food so he can be standing erect, he can be surviving. And if it's not, if you must, it is one third and one third and one third. If we go back, you'll find out the beauty of the physical aspect where we get rid of all the poisonous leftover from the year before. Revive your system. And the spiritual side of Ramadan goes back to hadith where the full Khalifa radiallahu anhum an as-sahabati ajma'in plus Abu Dharr al-Ghafari radiallahu anhu. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking them, فِيمَا تَتَحَدَّثُونَ What were you talking about? They said, we were talking about three things. Before I go through this, ask yourself, if you were asked, what were the three things that you favor most or wish for? Or what would you do? If somebody's asking you, what were the three wishes? Ask yourself and be honest with yourself when you answer. And keep that in the back of your mind and listen to the best of those who walk the face of the earth after prophets and messengers. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I love three things. An-nazar ilayk wal-julus bayna yadayk wa infaq mali alayk. I love sitting and seeing you between your hands and looking at you and spending my money for the sake of Allah upon you. وأنت يا عمر رضي الله عنه أحب الحق وقول الحق وزهق الباطل. الفاروق saying the truth, enjoining good and forbidding evil. وأنت يا عثمان رضي الله عنه. He says إفشاء السلام وإطعام الطعام والصلاة بالليل والناس نيام. He says spreading peace and greeting, sharing the food and staying up at night to pray while people to sleep. So how are you doing, أخي and أختي, عن القيام? How are you doing when sharing the food? How are you doing with greeting everyone and spreading peace? وأنت يا علي رضي الله عنه عن آل البيت الأطهار أجمعين. He says إكرام الضيف والصوم بالصيف وقتل العدو بالسيف. Being hospitable to the guest. Fasting during summer and killing the enemy with the sword. So how are you doing with the guest, يا أخي and أختي? When the guests come over, do you say to your wife, put the lobster away, honey? Put the shrimp away. They're gone now, okay, you can bring him in. Subhanallah. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. If you believe in Allah in the last day, be hospitable to your guest. And fasting during the summer. You're not asked to do things like this. But this Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu warda, he wants more reward. And he says, killing the enemy with the sword. And he goes to Abu Dharr al-Ghafari radiallahu anhu. He says, وَأَنْتَ يَا أَبَا ذَرِّ. He says, أُحِبُّ الْمَرَضْ وَالْجُوعُ وَالْمَوْتِ. Subhanallah. He says, illness, hunger, and death. So he asked him why. Everything was in line. He says, إِذَا مَرِضْ خَفَّ ذَنْبِي وَإِذَا جُعْتْ رَقَّ قَلْبِي وَإِذَا مِتْ لَقِيتُ رَبِّي. He says, when I'm ill, my sins fall off. When I'm hungry, my heart becomes more spiritual, closer to Allah. And when I die, I meet my Maker, my Lord, subhanallah. And then ask yourself the three questions again. What would it be, أخي and أختي? Swiss bank account? A big house? A private yacht? Or a big automobile, right, أخي and أختي? Not the best of the best, my brothers and sisters. It teaches us something about ourselves, and that's the journey we will talk about the second khutbah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula to make us of those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. أقولوا ما تسمعون واستغفروا عليكم فاستغفروا فيا فوز المستغفرين. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, now let us go through the school of Ramadan. What it's all about. Who you are. What you're made of. Imagine yourself last year, as if you have an out-of-body spiritual experience. Your soul has left your body and now you can see yourself sleeping in bed. And you can actually see people around you that are no longer here this year. And you wish for a few things. I wish I've done things a little better. Little different, more sincerity, more taqwa, not wasted my time, and so on. So going through this journey, I want you to think that this is your last Ramadan. And if you know for sure that this is your last Ramadan, how will you spend it? No one knows, but if you do know, how will you invest your time? Will you be able to say, let's kill some time knowing that the time is your best asset, is your capital, and that's what you're given to invest in this life, what you'll see the reward in the hereafter? No, you won't say that. You will take advantage of it. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, few days, counted numbers. So you can see yourself sleeping. It's dark at night. Your body is just laying there. And then you hear an annoying noise, this sound of the alarm clock. You try to pick up the pillow and hit it. It doesn't work. You actually have to get up. So you start making some noises. Your body is aching. You're not used to waking up this early. As you move up, your legs are barely making it. You look for the slippers with your feet on the ground. You can barely open your eyes. As you get up, you're banging against the walls and the corridors, trying to go to the bathroom, so you make up your wudu. And when you wake up, you say the shahada. So hopefully when you're resurrected, you'll think that you were just waking up from a sleep, and you say the shahada. That's the fruit of dhikr. So tub'ath ma'al muwahideen. And then the water is not warm yet. The things you take for granted, warm water, and think of other brothers and sisters that don't even have water. You make the wudu, you say the dua, you reach for a book that you haven't touched for a year. It just collected dust over the year. You take it up, dust it off, and you open it up for the first time, maybe the last time. And for the first time of your life, you're reading it like you're supposed to. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you personally, directly. The orders and the commands for you. So from now on, brothers and sisters, in this Ramadan specifically, you need to do some homework. First, you need to get a notebook and divide this notebook into two. The first half is for awamir, commands of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Second half is nawahi, prohibitions. Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu an as-sahaba di ajma'in says, wallahi, on judgment day, every verse, you will be reviewed by every verse. تَقُولُ الْآمِرَ هَلْ اِتَمَرْتَ وَتَقُولُ النَّاهِيَ هَلْ انْتَهَيْتَ. The command verse will come and say, did you do what Allah has commanded you to do? And the one that was prohibited, did you stay away from that? So first homework, you get that notebook and write on the right hand side the commands of Allah. Left hand side you say the prohibitions. Review this every time before you go to sleep. So weigh your actions before they're weighed onto you, and hold yourself accountable before they held on against you or for you. You pick up that book and read. You finish. You do two rak'at before Fajr, and you taste the beauty of Qiyam. As Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula descends in the way befitting His Majesty, in the last third of the night, asking, who wants to repent? Who wants to be forgiven? And so on. You now get to eat. You find out that you need the food for the body, but you also need the food for the soul. And you learn that you can not just get up for Fajr, but you can get up before Fajr. That's the school of Ramadan, preparing you for the best. And then you want to go to sleep. Your eyes are heavy again. But you remember, if you go to the masajid in darkness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you this illuminating guiding light on judgment day. For every step you come to the masjid, there's a good deed that is written. A bad deed that is erased. Raised ranks in heaven. Come to pray in Fajr in Jama'ah, you're in the protection of Allah. Sustenance is written. You're the guest of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. You prayed Fajr, alhamdulillah. You go home. You want to go back to sleep. But you remember, you gotta have to go back to work. It's time. You see your kids, they're still asleep. It's still dark. You kiss them on their forehead and go to work. You go to work, everybody's high-fiving, hugging, embracing, eating and drinking, laughing, joking, touching, doing whatever it is that they're doing. And it's time for you. This is the year that when people tell you, here, eat and drink, you won't say, ah, thanks, I'm on a diet. No, you will say, I'm fasting because I'm a Muslim. And use this opportunity for da'wah. And yes, my name is Muhammad, not Mo. And Fatima, not Queen Latifa. It's time. You finish work, it was difficult. The trials and turmoils are there. Fitna, tests, tribulations you go through. You're tested, you know your true colors. You go home, you see your kids running toward you for the first time of the day, or running away from you. Allah help you, wallahi, if they do. You sit down and eat. Everything tastes like ice cream. Allahu Akbar. You remember, lissayim farhatan. Two pleasant occasions for the person that is fasting. When you eat in this life, when you break your fast, that's a great reward. Allahu Akbar. You drink, ya salam. You remember the hadith. Ibtallat al-uruq wa dhahab al-dhama wa thabat al-ajr. Inshallah, ya salam. Beautiful. Quenched are the veins. Thirst is perished. And the reward is established, recorded, inshallah. And now, you remember the hadith that you didn't eat too much. Because if you do, what happens? You will be able to listen to the imam. But if you don't, the test again. You eat like there's no tomorrow. You come to the masjid at night time. What happens, akhi? You'll be going to sleep as you do in the taraweeh. When the brother nudges you, so it's khushu', akhi. Wallah, it's not khushu', it's too much biryani. My brothers and sisters, listen to the hadith. And stay away from the garlic and the onions. Because when you say ameen, the brother next to you has the tears to the eyes. And now you can see, when you come back to the masajid, you actually see a shoulder that's moving. Finally, your heart is softened. You can listen to the words of Allah with your heart. Like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to that, listen to the Quran. When it comes that verse about the hellfire, he would say, Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Allah, keep away the hellfire from us and keep us away from it. Ameen. And when it comes to Jannah, you would ask Allah, Jannah. You can actually feel it. And now you finish Taraweeh. You remember the hadith that says if you stay till the Imam leaves, as if you stayed up the whole night to pray. Beautiful reward. It is written for you. And then you go after the dua al-qunut. As you raise your hands up to the heavens, you remember as if it's a miniature scene of the hereafter. It's a beautiful munajah, asking Allah, talking, pouring out your heart. You're taking out your secret sins, your closet sins that nobody else knows except Allah. And he said, it's a beautiful time for Ramadan to repent and come back. As you finish, you go back home. Again, your kids are asleep. You kiss them again over so gently on the forehead. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them thabat in this life and the hereafter. You learn something about yourself. As the school of Ramadan, so is the school of life. You will get a report card after Ramadan. Did you pass the school of Ramadan? Did you learn anything from the school of Ramadan? Whether you will say, Ha umuqra'u kitabiya, here, read my book, or woe to me, I wish I did not get my book. And will you be a Ramadani? Do you worship Allah only in Ramadan, or will you take this knowledge and passion and the charge of Iman after Ramadan? You will, inshallah, with that intention, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Ramadan the best of Ramadan. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَأَسْكَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. يَا رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِجَلَالِ وَجْهِكَ وَعَظِيمِ سُلْطَانِكَ اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين والآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين وعلي بفضلك كلمتي الحق والدين وأذل الشرك والمشركين أعداءك أعداء الدين أوقع الكافرين في الكافرين وأوقع الظالمين في الظالمين وأخرجنا من بينهم سالمين اللهم احفظنا بالإسلام قائمين واحفظنا بالإسلام قاعدين واحفظنا بالإسلام راقدين ولا تشمت بنا الأعداء ولا الحاسدين اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ونعوذ بعظمتك أن نغتال من تحتنا أقول ما تسمعون فما كان فيه من صواب فمن الرحمن وما كان فيه من خطأ من نسيان فمني ومن الشيطان والله ورسوله منه براء وأعوذ بالله أن أذكركم به وأنسى وأقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى وتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى.